all, and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here is this week's talk, Baraka.
Good morning. Oopsie, this is going to be interesting. So imagine what would happen to make you believe something so much that you're ready to die for it, especially if it's something which at one point you doubted or you didn't actually buy it. Imagine what would have to happen for you to be so in that you're ready to die for it. This is what we've been talking about. See, after the resurrection of Jesus, he hung around for 40 days, showed up to hundreds of people, he healed the sick, performed several miracles, and these encounters he had with people transformed them so much that guys who were hiding at one point were even ready to die for this. It transformed them so much that his own brothers, imagine what would make your brothers think you're a big deal. His own brothers believed in him as Lord and Savior, as Lord, as their Lord and their God. And I think this is important because to this day, people are having encounters with Jesus. To this day, Jesus is showing up in people's lives and it's transforming them. It's transforming people who didn't buy this at one point to people who will live their lives for this forever. It's transforming us from people who once were acting out of fear to people who will do this forever. And so it has been my prayer that we keep being aware of how God is showing up in our lives, because this matters. And so what we've done is, so far we've talked about a couple of appearances Jesus made. So he made an appearance at one point just to comfort his disciples. Then he made another appearance to his disciples to deal with doubt, because one of them was super doubtful of this thing. And he's about to make another appearance to deal with shame, because it matters to him. You know, because these people were about to get into a future that they were cut out for, and they had to be in their right place, you know. And I say this because I also know that society is getting to a future that and they will really need the church. They will need you to be in your place in the kingdom. They will need you to take your place in the story of the kingdom of God. And so God is encountering us for some of these reasons. So let's pray as we get into one of those stories today. Father, I pray that even now you're encountering us. Even now in this season, sitting back at home, some full of joy, some full of uncertainty, and some just in a place of indifference. Even now, Lord, I pray that you are showing up and that your spirit is filling our rooms and even this place, in Jesus' name. So today's story, I'll read from John, still in the same, you know, continuing with the story, chapter 21, verse 1 to 19. So after Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "Hey, I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the other side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast the net and they were able to, they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about hundreds yards off. When they got onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out in it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish and you have that you have just caught." So Simon went aboard and hauled in the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask Jesus, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came to them. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So at this point, some of the disciples are now bold enough to get out. You know, the last two encounters we've talked about, they were so afraid, they didn't, they were behind closed doors. So this time they're bold enough to get out. But then there is something happening. They're realizing it's a new reality that Jesus wasn't just Rabbi, Jesus was actually Lord and God. Everything he said was true. They're realizing he was so much more. So it's a new reality, and I feel like they're having a bit of crisis about their identity. How do they fit in? You know, they had their life mapped out before, but that was when they thought, you know, he was going to be a military king, take over Israel and run the Romans out of town. Things have changed. They've met the risen Jesus. They don't know how they actually fit in. They don't know how the story continues from here. And so it's easier when people have a struggle with their identity to go back to reset to the last time they think they knew themselves. So they go back fishing. And you know, this is what Peter knew best. This is what most of them knew best. Because as a fisherman, he just has to go fishing, hopefully catch some fish, and then go to the market and hopefully make a sale. So that was something he could identify with. This new reality, he didn't actually know how he fit in. And I think some of us are struggling with that. It's like, you know, you used to go to the office, and now this new reality, how do you fit in? But I think there's something else happening that Peter is also struggling with a bit of shame because he had just denied. Some of you might not remember this part of the story, but Peter denied Jesus three times, and now he's realizing he didn't just deny his friend. He didn't just deny a rabbi. He denied his Lord. He denied God himself. So he's in this place of, how do I fit in? Now that I realize that he is everything he said he was, how do I fit in? Maybe I don't belong in the coming future. Maybe I don't belong in this new reality. And so Peter decides he's going fishing. He's going back to what he knew best. He's going back to obscurity. Because at some point he was a big deal among the group of disciples, but then he feels like he disappointed Jesus. He feels like he failed Jesus. And now he's realizing Jesus was everything he said he was. So he's just going, I'm just going to get out of the way. You know? And some of you are in that place. Jesus has been showing up for you in this season, but you feel like you've done so things out of line that you don't deserve to be around. So you're thinking, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm just going to go to obscurity, you know? And the enemy keeps reminding you of where you came from, of how you denied Jesus. He's reminding you of the days you used to say you'd never follow Jesus. And so it feels like, well, maybe I shouldn't have a voice around people who've accepted Jesus. And so this is where Peter is. He's fighting shame. And so he's trying to find the lowest place So he's thinking, if this future is big, maybe the rest of these disciples can go on, but I'm just going to be their friend as I continue with fishing. But then, what about these other four that went with him? You know? And I think maybe we need to remember that we are unique, but our stories are quite similar. I think they were also struggling with their identity in this new reality. You know, so when Peter said, hey, I'm going fishing, they thought, yeah, I don't know how I fit in. So they also went fishing. I think some of the fears and struggles we will be facing in this new season, some of the fears and struggles you're facing are similar to many other people's fears and struggles. So I'm inviting us to even more plug into community. I'm inviting us even more to step into compassion. Some of the movements of your heart are actually similar to what other people are feeling in their heart. So step into compassion. Step into compassion. Anyway, so John, in all humility, lets us know that he was the most beloved disciple, and he's the first one to recognize, hey, it's Jesus. And when Peter heard this, he puts on his clothes and jumps into the sea. I don't get why someone, they needed to strip before they went fishing, but anyway, that's the story. But you know, think about it. You don't, if you're going to jump into water, you don't put your clothes on first. There's something else going on here. So maybe it's just the sheer surprise of seeing Jesus again, and he's like, oh my word, and he's confused. Or maybe it's what happens to all of us when we feel like we've disappointed someone, when we're struggling with shame, and the person we feel like we've disappointed walks into the room, we walk to the farthest end of the room. So Peter puts on his clothes, but he's like, where can I hide? Okay, I'm just going to jump into the sea. I think that's what's happening, or at least part of it. Because he's feeling, maybe I don't belong. Maybe I don't belong. Anyway, they keep hauling in the fish and they go on land. And when they get on land, they find that Jesus has made breakfast. Eating together was such a big deal in this culture. And it's quite similar to our culture too. And one of the things I know we all miss is the opportunity to eat with our friends and family that we cannot see at this point. And I think that's one thing I'm praying for a time when we'll all get together and have our date for eight and eat together with our teams, with friends and with loved ones. And just a few things to think about. I just find it interesting. So they come to shore and they find that Jesus is hosting them. This is something Jesus kept doing. Everywhere he went, he was the host. Even when he was invited in people's houses, he became the host. Even now, as Jesus shows up in your house, as Jesus shows up in your life, he's saying, hey, I am the host. It's on me. It's not on you. Because when you're the host, you have to take care of everything. You have to take care of the menu. You have to take care of the cost. He carries it on him. So Jesus is telling them, hey, I am the host. Everything is on me. You know? And they had caught some fish, but that's not the fish that Jesus has prepared for them. He invites them, yeah, you can bring some of it. But it's not like Jesus was dependent on the fish they had caught. I think some of the things that Jesus is trying to say is, it's not so much about what you get to do. Jesus is going to host them for breakfast anyway. I think Jesus is finding it more important to be with his disciples than push them into doing. And that's part of my invitation to you guys today. That God is inviting you more to be with him. It's more important to be with him than to do. And it's great to do stuff. It's part of our invitation. But it's not what God is pegging his provision and his compassion on you on. He's going to host breakfast. It just reminds me of the psalmist David saying that God prepares a table for us right in front of our enemies and our troubles. God keeps hosting us. God is going to host us even in this time. Not because you've been so good, not because you're fixing things, not because you're working too hard, but because He is our Father. He is our Lord. You know? And the honest truth is, this season has been a setback for so many people. Others had healed, and now it feels like they've gone back to addictions that they had overcome. There are those whose relationships had gotten so much better, but it feels like they're struggling again. Some people had made huge steps in their walk with Jesus when there was a community around them, and now they find themselves alone and it feels like they're losing everything. You know? Some people had made such huge economic steps and it feels like it's all wiped out. And even then, and I feel like this is where Peter is, he feels like, I'm going back to where I started. In him, he feels no better than when he was just a fisherman. And I like that Jesus comes to host him even in this time, because it's like Jesus is saying, hey, it's not about until you fix it. It's more of, I'm going to meet you here where you are. It's not about until you fix this, but Jesus is rather saying, I'm going to meet you here where you are. Or I'm sliding back to my addictions. Jesus is moving right there with you and saying, I'm going to meet you here where you are. Oh, your marriage is sliding back to where you fought so hard to get it out of. Jesus is meeting you to right where you guys are. Some of you are trying to figure out whether you can still follow Jesus without public gatherings, because it was easy for you when the expression of your faith was showing up on Sunday. Now you feel like, oh my word, am I really a follower of Jesus? And Jesus is meeting you right where you are, you know? Some of you don't know how else to share your faith. Because part of how you shared your faith was the conversation with people every time you gathered on Sunday or in small groups in your houses. And it feels like you've gone back, just like Peter. And Jesus is saying, it's not about until you fix this. It's not about until this is fixed in the world. I'm going to meet you right where you are. So Jesus meets them right where they are. They've gone fishing. And as they eat the fish, I think there's an elephant in the room. You know, there's something everyone else knows. As they sit there, just five of them, six of them, it's like, we all know something that needs to be dealt with. Because after all, Peter jumped into the water. So Peter is actually dripping. There's an elephant in the room. And Jesus doesn't ignore it. So he brings it up. So I'm going to read the rest of the story that we didn't read. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him this a third time. He said this to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go. This he said to show what kind of death he was going to die to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. I like that Jesus waited at least until breakfast is over. Because some conversations are too heavy for mealtimes. You know, okay. So I really think tables are a great place for forgiveness. So here Jesus is not is serving restoration and forgiveness for breakfast. So, you know, for those fighting couples out there, I think you should share a meal together. But just wait until the meal is over. Don't start talking about it until the meal is over so that the other person actually gets to eat. So Jesus waited until breakfast was over to bring up the elephant in the room. And guess who reached out first? Jesus did. You know, human beings have this toxic habit of pouting and closing down and waiting for the other person to come and say sorry. They hurt me. They should say sorry. They should see how bad I am hurt and man up and say they're sorry and buy me breakfast. And they should come to me. But Jesus does the opposite. Because Jesus can see how much Peter is struggling with shame and feeling like he's disappointed Jesus. So Jesus moves in to meet him where he is. And I think that's something we could all do. Those of us who are in a place to forgive, sometimes it is for us to reach out to these people because when we've hurt people, when we're struggling with shame, we don't feel like we have the strength to reach out to them. So after breakfast, Jesus serves breakfast, and after breakfast, he reaches out first. He brings up that difficult conversation. But the conversation is not one of a cuddly teddy bear thing. Peter is not made to feel sorry for what he's going through. He's not made to feel like what he did was all right. Instead, he's being called back to his identity, to his calling, to what truly matters. You know? I think it's cool that Jesus came to Peter after he had gone back fishing. Remember, this is the second time Jesus appearing to his disciples. But he never dealt with this those other two times. But when Peter goes back fishing, he deals with this. Why? Because it reminds Peter of their first encounter. When Peter was just a fisherman, not expecting anything great, and Jesus showed up and did the same thing. Hey, cast your net on this other side. And then they caught fish. And then Peter was like, oh my word, you must be the Messiah. But get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Then Jesus said, no. Put your trust in me and I will make you start fishing for people. I will give you a new identity. I will give you a calling. Everything that's happening here is so important to Peter right from the beginning. Why? Because Jesus is trying to restore his identity. Jesus is trying to remind him of his calling. And for some of you, as Jesus is appearing to you guys, he's doing the same thing for you. He's reminding you of your first love. He's reminding you of when you first met. He's reminding you of the first commitment you ever made. He's reminding you of when your heart first burned for him. He's reminding you of your true identity because shame tries to steal our identity. When we feel like we've disappointed God, it steals our identity. And so Jesus meets us there and reminds us, listen, this is who you were always called to be. And this was important because Peter was supposed to lead the church in the coming season. This is important because there's something God needs you to do in this coming season. We have no idea what the season looks like, but it's going to be different. And you need to be in your place. You see, unfortunately, sometimes in the church, to preach grace, we let go of truth. And so we kind of make people feel like it's a free-for-all and nothing matters. We welcome people to the table and we allow them to wallow in their sin. You know, we don't even like talking about sin because we're trying so much to preach grace. So, hey, come to the table and yeah, let's not talk about that. You know, unfortunately, sometimes to preach truth, we welcome people to the table. And once they are sitting at our table, really at the Lord's table, we beat them over their heads with everything they've done. We make them feel terrible about who they are, about what their past is. And we keep them there. But Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. Not not a weird mixture of grace and truth, but 100% grace, 100% truth. So Jesus invites Peter to the table and shows him that grace is poured out for him. And Jesus doesn't waste time on Peter's failure. Instead, this is what truth does. It points to Jesus. You know, at one point Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, and he said, when the Spirit comes, he will lead you to all truth. And truth points to Jesus. Truth doesn't point to how terrible we are. Truth doesn't point to what failures we are. Truth points to Jesus, and truth says one thing: follow me. Follow me. The same invitation he made when he first met Peter. That has been the truth. The same invitation Jesus made to you when you first met him is the invitation he's making today. And if you've never heard his voice, the invitation he's making right now is follow me. As the Spirit of God reminds you where he first gave you the joy of salvation, Lord, I'm just praying that you restore the joy of salvation. He's saying the same words, follow me. And for me, this is reminiscent of the time Peter saw Jesus walking on water and said, hey, if that's you, call me out. And Jesus said, yeah, come on. And Peter didn't even get enough time to think, and he got off the boat and started walking on water. And then he panicked and started drowning. And Jesus reached out to him like he always does every time we're drowning, every time I'm drowned. And when he picks him up, he says, why did you take your eyes off me? Why did you take your eyes off me? You see, shame loses its power when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Sin loses its power when we stop focusing on it and focus on Jesus. Fear loses its power when we focus on Jesus. Is the storm raging? Yes. Are there questions about what the church will look like in the new reality? Yes. Is the enemy constantly reminding you of the life you lived before you accepted Jesus? Yes. Are there things from your past that keep screaming for your attention? Yes. And do they sometimes seem to win the day? Yes. But just like for Peter, Jesus will keep reminding us, will keep asking this question, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than your finances? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than what you think your identity was? Do you love? And he will keep repeating this question until it finally dawns in our hearts that he knows we love him. Until it finally dawns in our hearts that he knows everything, even the shameful things that we haven't told anyone, even the places we've slid back to that we're afraid to admit, even the dark places of our hearts that make us want to be obscure. And still he knows we love him. He will repeat that question, and he's asking today, do you love me? Not because he doesn't know, but he wants it to dawn in our hearts that he knows our hearts. He knows our desire to follow him. He knows our struggle with following him. So Peter says, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. You see, shame keeps you from realizing who you are in God's kingdom. But God keeps meeting you in that place of mud to remind you to focus on him, you know? Because in the coming season, you're supposed to take your place in the kingdom of God. And the only way you will stand is if you keep your eyes on Jesus. So Jesus will keep appearing to us, to the church, to you guys in this season. So that until that shame you're wearing falls off, and it's okay to go, Lord, take it off me. Take it off me. Lord, I want you to make me realize that you know I love you, even when I'm failing to show it. And the invitation remains the same. Don't take your eyes off me. Come, follow me. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray over everyone that's watching that the yoke of shame and the feeling that they have disappointed you breaks. I speak freedom over each one of you, that you will finally see the face of Jesus and see how he sees you and see how he knows not only everything, but how much you love him. And that you will remember your identity. You will remember what you were called to be. Father, I just break our hold on the lies that want to clutch onto our chests. So that the church will be ready, so that everyone watching will be ready to take their place in the season that's coming, in the story of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you very much for joining us, and we're looking forward to seeing you again next weekend. Please let us know how we can pray with you. Our phone number is on screen, and you can write on FB or via email. God bless you.